It's a great pleasure for me to be here with you for the development of mental culture so that we can get rid of all kinds of suffering by means of mindfulness meditation. Everybody put possible, every possible effort to get rid of suffering, because nobody likes suffering. Everybody likes to live happy, peaceful and blissful life. So every possible effort is made to free from all kinds of disease suffering. The mindfulness meditation or vipassana meditation, which is taught at Sabine the Lord Buddha, is one of the many different ways of releasing from all kinds of suffering. So we have to come here to practice this mindfulness meditation or vipassana meditation with a view to realizing our bodily mental phenomena in their true nature, destroying all kinds of mental defilements which are the causes of all kinds of suffering. And get rid of and attain the cessation of suffering, Nibbana. To attain the cessation of suffering, or to be free from all kinds of suffering, we need to destroy all mental suffering, such as lobha, greed, desire, craving, attachment, dosa, ill will, hatred, anger, and moha, ignorance or delusion. To eradicate all these mental defilements, we need to realize or rightly understanding each and every mental and physical phenomenon and their true nature. To realize this body-mind process as it really is, we need to practice this mindfulness meditation or vipassana meditation by being aware of what is happening to our body and mind as it really occurs. That is vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation. This mindfulness meditation is taught in accordance with the discourse of the four foundations of mindfulness, Mahasatipatthana Sutra, expounded by the omniscient Buddha well over 2,500 years ago. To practice this mindfulness meditation or Vipassana meditation, first of all, we need to purify our morality, our moral conduct. To purify morality, our moral conduct, we have to observe the precepts, such as five precepts, eight precepts, nine precepts, and so on, for laymen. For bhikkhus, there are 227 rules of monastic cult or vinaya. Observing, fully observing these precepts, we can purify our moral conduct, morality. For purification of our moral conduct or deed and speech, these precepts are laid down by the omniscient Buddha. As a prerequisite for development of a mindfulness meditation, the development of the mindfulness, that's why we have to take up a precept here just now. The aim of the taking up a precept is to purify our deed and speech, moral conduct, which are indispensable to attain deconcentration of mind, on which the insight knowledge arises, based on which the insight knowledge arises. Penetrating knowledge or experiential knowledge of a mental and physical phenomena is indispensable to exterminate all kinds of mental defilements, which are the causes of all kinds of suffering. To have the penetrating insight or experiential knowledge of a bodhisattva process, we need some degree of a deep concentration. To attain some degree of a deep concentration, constant and continuous mindfulness of what is happening to our body and mind is required. To constant and continuous to have a continuous constant mindfulness, our mind should be balanced and also become stable. To have a balanced and stable mind, we should have a purification of morality or deed and speech. To purify our deed and speech, we need to observe the rules of precepts laid down by the Lord Buddha. That's why we have to take up a precept. Abstention from killing, abstention from taking what's not given, abstention from celibacy, abstention from telling lies, abstention from using any kind of intoxicant, abstention from taking substantial food after midday, and so on. You have the translation of these precepts with you. So, fully observing these eight precepts, our deed and speech will be purified. Based on purification of our deed and speech, we are able to concentrate our mind on any object of meditation to a large extent. Purification of a deed and speech is called Sila Visuddhi. Purification of a virtue or morality. Without purification of a morality, we do not have a clear conscience. When we practice our mindfulness meditation, sometimes we may feel guilty conscious. By reflecting the evil deed and speech we did in this life or in the past existences, then we feel guilty conscious. Then our mind cannot be balanced and stable and clear. Then we are not able to concentrate our mind on the object of meditation very well. So, to have a clear conscience and clarity of mind, tranquility of mind, we have to observe eight precepts as a base for our meditation, Vipassana meditation. So based on purified conduct, a morality or virtue, we concentrate our mind on any mental process or physical process as it really occurs. Because of a clear conscience, the mind becomes stable, balanced, and clear then it's able to concentrate on its meditated objects very well. Then we attain deep concentration of the mind. When the mind is deeply concentrated on any mental or physical process, the insight or penetrating knowledge, experiential knowledge that arises together with concentration becomes sharp or penetrating. Then the insight realizes the true nature of a bodily and mental phenomena and the bodily phenomena as they really are. So we have to observe these precepts. As you know, in Buddhism, to free oneself from all kinds of suffering and to attain the cessation of suffering through realization of a bodily mental process, we have three kinds of training. The first one is sila sikha, training in sila, virtue or moral conduct. The second one is samadhi sikha, training and concentration. The third is panya sikha, training in insight or wisdom or enlightenment. Out of these three trainings, the first training is to observe these precepts so that we can purify our morality or conduct. Based on purified morality or conduct, we contemplate our mind, contemplate on any mental or physical phenomena as it really is. That is vipassana meditation. I think here we need to explain very briefly the difference between samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. Samatha here means calm, tranquility. The commentary to Pali text gives a definition of the samatha. Samatha means a mental state that calm defilements or hindrance. When the mind is not concentrated on any object of meditation, it's unable to calm any upper hindrance or mental defilement. It's only when the mind is well concentrated on the object of meditation that it can calm all kinds of hindrance and defilement, mental defilement. So yeah, actually samatha means a concentration. So it can be called calmness, tranquility and serenity. Then according to the definition of the word samatha, the aim of samatha meditation is to attain higher degree of concentration of mind only, not for realization of a bodily mental phenomena. So samatha meditator cannot realize any mental or physical phenomena, even though he has attained the highest degree of concentration, such as jhana and also vijna, supernormal power. So samatha meditations aims at attainment of a deep concentration only. Samatha meditator cannot realize a bodily and mental phenomena in their true nature, so he is not able to destroy the defilements, mental defilement, which are the causes of suffering. Vipassana means the insight which penetrates into the true nature of our bodily and mental phenomena, especially three characteristics of existence, that's anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, anatta, impersonal nature. But without some degree of concentration, vipassana meditator is not able to realize this bodily mental phenomena and their true nature. So vipassana meditator to need some degree of concentration, which can be obtained by him by being aware of what is happening to our body and mind as it really occurs. Then the aim of a vipassana meditation is to attain the cessation of suffering through realization of a bodily and mental phenomena. Based on some degree of a deep concentration. That is the difference between samatha meditation and vipassana meditation. There's also another point of a difference between the two types of meditation. The purpose of a samatha meditation is to concentrate the mind on a single object of meditation. So samatha meditator takes a single object as the subject of meditation. He focuses the mind on a single object of meditation. Suppose he takes respiration and breathing, out-breathing as the object of meditation. He contemplates on in-breathing and out-breathing. When the mind goes out, he has to bring it back to the primary object, that's in-breathing, out-breathing, respiration at the nose tree. Focus the mind there, then be mindful of it, making mental note, in, out, in, out. Whenever the mind goes out, he has to bring it back to the primary object and focus it on the nose tree and making mental note, in, out his home. Vipassana meditators needs to realize each and every mental process or physical process as it really occurs. So it has many different objects of meditation. Any mental states can be the object of vipassana meditation. Any emotional states can be of the object of meditation. Any physical process or physical activities, actions or movements can be the object of meditation. Because the vipassana meditator needs to rightly understand each and every mental, physical process and their true nature. So he hasn't a single object of a meditation. He has many varieties of a different mental and physical process as his object of meditation, the object of meditation. Accordingly, while engaged in a vipassana meditation, his mind goes out, thinks about something else. Vipassana meditator must not bring the mind back to the primary object. He must follow the mind which is going out or wandering or thinking about something else. He needs to realize what is happening at the moment as it really occurs. So when the thought arises, he must observe it as it is. When the sadness arises, he must observe it as it is. When happiness arises, he must observe it as it is. When imagination arises, he must observe it as it arises. When any of a physical unpleasant physical sensation such as a pain, itching, stiffening, numbness and so on arises, he must observe it as it really is. Any mental states, emotional states, physical process is the object of meditation because it needs to be realized by a vipassana meditator. So here, the difference between samatha meditation and vipassana meditation is that Samatha meditator takes only a single object of meditation. Vipassana meditator takes many different physical processes and mental processes, the object of meditation. But he takes only an object at the moment. At the same time, he can't take two or three mental or physical processes as the object of meditation. So what we have to be careful as Vipassana meditator is he must not bring his mind back to the primary object when the mind goes out and wanders or thinks about something else. He must follow the mind which is wandering or thinking about something else and observe it, be mindful of it as it really occurs, making mental note, thinking, wondering, and so on. Until that thought has disappeared, he must observe it. Only after the thought has disappeared, he should return to the primary object. So there's a difference between samatha and vipassana meditation. It's very much important to be understood. In the following nights, we will deal with both theoretically and practical aspects of vipassana meditation. Today is the first day, so today we have to lay stress on practical aspect of this meditation so that you can easily practice this meditation. But you have some experience in Vipassana meditation. Some of the meditator has a lot of experience in Vipassana meditation. But there may be some meditator who hasn't any experience in Vipassana meditation, so we have to deal with the technique of this insight meditation as to exercise on practical exercise on Vipassana meditation. Before you begin to practice Vipassana meditation, first of all, you have to reflect some attributes of the Lord Buddha who teaches us this way of liberation. So the Buddha has innumerable attributes, but on any attribute, if we reflect, say enough. The nine attributes of the Buddha is known to all meditator, I think. The first one is Arahant. Arahant means the Lord Buddha or the omniscient Buddha who is worthy of honor and homage, because he has totally destroyed all mental defilements and attained the cessation of suffering. This is what the word Arahant, the attributes of Arahant means. The Buddha, who is worthy of honor or homage, because he has attained enlightenment through realization of through destroying all mental defilement and hindrances. In this way, you should reflect upon the attributes of the Buddha about 2 minutes. By reflecting the attributes of a Buddha, you will be inspired to practice this mindfulness meditation taught by himself. Then, after that, you should develop loving kindness towards all living beings, metta, reflecting the welfare of all living beings, wishing their peace and happiness and prosperity. You develop your loving kindness spirit of loving kindness towards all sentient beings, saying like this: may all beings be happy and peaceful. May all living beings free from all kinds of suffering. May all living beings get rid of our suffering, and so on. In this way, you should develop your loving kindness towards all living beings. This is a call to metta bhavana, as you know. Then your mind becomes clear, tranquil, serene by developing loving kindness towards all living beings. Then you should reflect the repulsive nature of loathsomeness of your body by reflecting upon impurities of the body, such as intestine, blood, phlegm, and so on. When you reflect upon the impurities of the body, you become less attached to your body. Attachment is the suffering and the cause of suffering, as you know. Less attachment makes suffering less. So when you reflect upon the impurities of the body, you have your attachment becomes less and less to the body. Then you become honest and development your mindfulness meditation. Then the fourth one, you should reflect upon the death, ever approaching death. We can die at this moment, we can die tonight, we can die tomorrow, we can die day after tomorrow. So at every second the death is approaching us, we have to reflect upon it. Death is sudden, life is uncertain. By reflecting upon the nature of the death, then we have we are very much willing to practice, to put enough effort in our practice. These are, we call it the four protections. Reflection upon the virtues of the Buddha, developing loving kindness towards all living beings, reflection upon impurities of the body, and reflection upon the nature of the death. Said you do these four protections about 2 or 3 minutes. After that you begin to practice your meditation. By contemplating on the abdominal movement, you should start your meditation. Then sit not cross-legged position. If you crossed one leg upon the other against the other, then the circulation becomes irregular, unstable. In a short time you feel numb or painful sensation. So the two legs should be evenly placed side by side. The left one outside and the inside, the right legs inside. Or the right leg outside, the left ones inside. As you feel comfortable, you should place these two legs side by side, not crossing one upon the other. Then body should be kept straight. Do not bend forward or do not bend backward. Head and neck must be straight. Then the hands should be placed in the ankle, the one after another, like this position. The left one, the left hand, the right one placed upon the left one, the palm upward. You should not touch the 4 inch, the 2 inch, the thumbs like this. If the two thumbs touches, then the pulse at the tip of the thumbs becomes so distant that you cannot note any other objects. So the two tongue must not be touched. Then you should place pen in this way. And also you can put in this way too. The two hands must be put on each knee this way. The palm upward, not this one. If you do put this way, the heat on the palm is too tense. Gradually it becomes severe and severe. Then here, the feeling of a hot sensation becomes unbearable later on. So you should put in this way. Then focus the mind on the abdominal movement. The clothing at the waist should be loosing. You should not tighten the clothes very tight. Loosen so that the abdominal movement, the abdomen moves very freely. Then focus the mind on the abdominal movement and observe the movement of the abdomen. Outward movement of the abdomen and inward movement of the abdomen. The movements depends on the physical position of the meditator. Sometimes the movements rises outward and there falls inward. For some meditator, the movement rises upward and falls downward. Whatever it may be, what you need is just to know or just to be mindful of what is happening at that moment as it really occurs, that's all. When you feel upward movement, you observe it rising. When you feel downward movement, you observe it rising. When you feel outward movement, you feel, you note rising. You can do it. Labeling or making mental note is needed in the beginning of the practice so that the mind can be concentrated well on the object of meditation. The labeling or noting helps the mind to focus on its object very well. So you note rising, falling, rising, falling. When the rising movement and falling movements are not distinct to your mind, then you can put both hands on the movement. Then when the abdomen rises, the hands moves outward or upward. When the abdomen falls, the hand falls inward. In this way, you can note rising and falling. Do not take deep breath or vigorous breath so that you can make it distinct. Because the breathing should be normal and natural. When you take it quick or vigorous, then you get tired in a short time. So breathing should be normal and then natural. Focus the mind on it and knows it as much as possible, making mental note as rising, falling. When your mind becomes concentrated to a certain extent, you will be able to feel the rise and fall of the movement very distinctly. Then you can note it very well. Rising, falling, rising, falling. While you are engaged in the movement of the abdomen, your mind goes out. You must not cling to (clears throat) the abdominal movement. You leave it alone and follow the mind which is wandering, and observe it wandering, 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 wandering until it has disappeared. After it has disappeared, you return to the primary object, that's the rise and fall of the abdomen. When you feel any painful sensation or numbness on any part of your body, you should focus on that sensation and note it as it is, making mental note, pain, 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 or numb, 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 and so on. After the sensation, the painful sensation becomes subsided or disappeared, you return to the primary object, rise and fall over the abdomen, note as usual. Rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen is a vayu dhatu, wind element, one of the four primary material elements, which is a very predominant to be realized by a meditator. Vayu dhatu, wind element, has the characteristic of movements, motion, vibrating, supporting. Movement, motion, vibration, supporting is the specific characteristic of a wind element, vayu dhatu. You have to realize it very thoroughly. That's why we have to start with it. But what you should be careful is not to take it as a single object of a meditation. The abdominal movements are not a single object of meditation, but one of many different mental and physical processes which are the object of meditation. That is why the mind goes out, you leave it alone and follow the mind and observe it as it is. When you deal with the thought, ideas, opinions, mental images, imagination, your noting mind should be energetic and somewhat quick, so that the noting mind becomes gradually more and more powerful than the thinking process. When the noting mind becomes more powerful, the thinking process becomes weak. Then in a short time the thought stops, because it's overwhelmed by the noting mind, the powerful noting mind. That's why you need to note attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. After the thought has stopped, you return to the primary object of the rise and fall of the abdomen and note as usual. While you are sitting, when you hear some sharp or loud sound, you should note hearing, 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 hearing. Then come to the primary object, note as usual, rising, falling. Whatever arises in your mind, emotional states or mental states, you should note it as it is. Then return to the primary object, note as usual. This is for sitting. In a sitting, you should try not to change any position, not to change the position of the sitting even once. But if you are not able to sit even 30 minutes, half an hour without changing position, but you may change once in a sitting. Say, after 15 minutes of meditation, you feel unbearable painful sensation. You note the pain, 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 pain by being patient with it. But the painful becomes unbearable, then you tend to change the position. Then you note intending, intending to change. Then change the position and note every action, actions and movements of the body. After you have changed, you continue to sit and observe the abdominal movement. And any other object which is more distinct. When the two objects are rising, then you should note one object which is more distant than the other. Then, this is for sitting, but you should not you should keep your body still. Do not move your hands or any limbs or body. Try to keep it very still and quiet so that you can attain deep concentration of a mind. But in the walking meditation, you should do walking and sitting alternately. In the walking meditation, first of all, you stand still and look at about 2 meters ahead of your head of yes, 2 meters before you. You must not close your eye, but your eye should be half closed, looking at a place about 4 meters ahead of you. But not sorry, 2 meters ahead of you. Do not look at nearer than. If you do, you'll feel tense on the back, on the neck. Sometimes you may feel dizzy. You may feel headache. So you should look at about a place above 2 meters ahead of you, and then make left, note left, right. When you make left steps, observe it and make mental note left. When you make do right steps, you observe it and make a mental note right, left, right. About 20 minutes. After that, you note lifting, moving, lifting, putting, or lifting, dropping. 2 parts of a step must be noted. About 10 minutes. After that, you should note lifting, pushing, dropping. 3 parts of a step must be noted. Slowly, lifting, pushing, dropping. Lifting, pushing, dropping. In this way, you should walk at least an hour, if it is possible. While walking, if your mind goes out, note the mind, and then come back to the walking meditation, and note the foot, the stepping. Your stepping must not be loud, stepping should be short. Your step should be a length of a foot, so that you can very well observe it. Each step, each part of a step. You must not look around here and there. Then, in this way, you should walk back and forth. But do not make any noise, putting down the foot very strongly. You have to put down very, very slowly. You have to lift very, very slowly so that you can be aware of each movement of the foot very well. This is a walking meditation. Yes, now time up. I think you can walk and sit. Practice meditation. May all of you practice your meditation strenuously and attain the cessation of suffering. Sadhu. We will continue tomorrow this exercise. practical exercise, practical aspect of meditation. So I want to request you not to make any noise when you